This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is DSC's Untamed Heritage. DSC's Untamed Heritage is brought to you by Dallas Safari Club.
Conservation, education, protecting hunters' rights.
Ruger.
Rugged, reliable firearms.
Hardity.
Accurate, deadly, dependable.
Trigicon.
Brilliant aiming solutions.
Burnham Brothers Calls.
Calling is calls made.
Texas Wildlife Association.
Working for tomorrow's wildlife today.
Texas Raised Hunting Products.
The Scent Gods.
www.trailingthehuntersmoon.com.
The Hunter Conservation Website.
Of all places, I'm on the ranch today, the FTW Ranch, with Mr. Tim Fallon, who started this ranch several years ago, and it's become known really kind of worldwide for a lot of different things, including the shooting school that's out here. But there's more to the ranch as well beyond all that. And I'm laughing kind of halfway because we've got Tim, and I've just given him a big piece of mint to put in his mouth. So I'm having to talk a little bit longer to have for him to clear his mouth where we can visit.
I'm fine, Larry.
I'm fine. Tim and I spent a lot of time together in hunting camps and a few other places, but thought we'd visit today just a little bit about the FTW Ranch and the Sportsman All-Weather, All-Terrain Marksmanship Training. Tim, what this is the FTW. How did the FTW come about?
Well, Larry, by the way, it's very nice to be with you again, buddy.
It's my pleasure, boy.
We've been around the world a time or two.
And we've had a few places together.
Larry, I purchased the ranch in 1996, the first half of it. And there's been three acquisitions since. And it was done. I purchased the ranch. My excuse at the time was I was going to use it to entertain our clients or our corporate clients at the time. But the thought process in mind of having a hunter training facility, there was nothing in the world available to where the average hunter can go train to get ready for his hunts. I know because I looked because I needed it too. And was on a 1999 Zimbabwe hunt, and the catalyst for this thing really was there was a gentleman in camp from New Jersey, an attorney, with a brand new double gun on an elephant hunt and never fired his gun.
Never fired his gun before,
never
he,
fired
his,
before he got
before
there.
Before he even got to the hunt.
Before he got there.
Wow.
And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. So came back, came home, did some more research. And it took us till 2005 to get the program launched. I knew I needed to live here full time, and I had sold my business in 2000 and worked for them for 4 years and then finally moved out here at the end of 2004. And we launched the program off test program. Was very fortunate to meet a couple of retired Navy SEAL snipers. And together we put together the program, and of course it's evolved now to 32 active ranges, and we run 48 weeks a year and about 700 students a year, including 12 weeks of our year are actually our nation's military snipers, Tier 1 snipers. So it's turned into a bundle of fun.
And a lot of work, too, isn't it?
It is
but
a lot
fun
of work,
but
it's not work if you love it.
Yeah. You're exactly right. You call this the Sportsman All-Weather, All-Terrain Marksmanship. How did you come up with that name, and what does that name or that title mean to you?
Well, to me, it means this is it's a unique facility, as you know. The property is one of a kind. There's nothing flat about the ranch. It's nothing but mountains. And we started, the first program we started was SAM Precision. And so the name really evolved from the precision concept, meaning elk hunting, goat hunting, sheep type training hunting. And we designed it so that regardless of the weather or the terrain, this would be practical training for the average hunter, be it a flatlands antelope hunt or a, in the mountains of Tajikistan after one of the rare Marco Polo goats or a Marco Polo sheep.
Right.
So we wanted it to encompass training between those two extremes. And I think with this, what makes, there's many things that make this a unique course and fun. Number one, most importantly, we keep it fun regardless.
Right.
Whether you're brand new or whether you a Weatherby Award winner, it doesn't matter. We've never had anybody leave here that didn't say this was just a barrel of monkeys. And it is. It's a lot of fun. My philosophy is if you're not having fun doing this, you're not learning.
And so, you're not learning, and you ought to be really be somewhere else as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you mentioned, how many ranges are on this property?
32 ranges, and we're building three more right now.
Building three more. And for folks who are not familiar with what Barksdale, now you're not in Barksdale, you're out kind of in the middle between a lot of places, but kind of in the edge of the Texas Hill Country to where you get lots of relief, lots of steep canyons, lots of steep hills, interesting wind conditions, mm-hmm. and this ranch is laid out such that on any given day you can have the wind almost in your face, left, right, behind you, so you get a chance to play with the wind a lot as well too.
Right, because of the canyons and the shape of the ranch and the prevailing eastern winds, you can literally be on a range with a left-hand wind, and you're going to have a right-hand hole downrange at 1,000 yards. So the 32 ranges, Larry, are everything from the dangerous game. One of our dangerous game, many dangerous game courses, is being charged by elephants and buffaloes up close and personal. And we have a 25-yard moving mover course and a 100-yard mover course and a 350-yard mover course and a 500-yard mover course. Those are more military-oriented, obviously. But the after the precision course in 2009, we developed the safari course. And that is basically 2 days. The first 2 days is.
Let's come back. Let's talk about the precision. Okay. Like, okay, maybe I've had a little bit of hunting experience. Maybe I've had a little bit of mm-hmm. shooting experience. But I am finally saved up enough money to where I am going to go on the outfitted hunt.
Right.
So, take me through some of the paces that you, if I come in and says, Tim, I really need to know more about my guns. I need to know about the scopes. I need to know about the ammo. And I need to know about my abilities with it.
Right.
With being able to do it. Kind of take me into somebody that's just come to the SAM course for the first time. That's relatively new to hunting and shooting. Or maybe even somebody that's had a lot of experience.
That's a really good question, Larry. There's two things I'd like to say up front. Number one, we're gear neutral. We love all gun scopes and bullets. So we're not going to try to sell you anything. We're going to get you better with your gear. And number two, everything you learn here is a way. There's none of this, oh, this is the only way to do something. That's a bunch of crap. I mean, there's lots of ways to do things. And we're going to show people lots of ways and do, and it's their job to decide which one works best for them.
Right.
Depending on the given circumstance and, you know, the events of that moment, if you will. So they're going to come in. Typically, normally, folks arrive on a Friday evening. Sometimes that changes up throughout the year depending on our military schedule. They're going to relax, get to know their other fellow students, which is a funny story. Remind me to tell you about later about meeting 11 other students that you didn't know before you got here, and they've just become the best of friends. It's really neat.
That I can understand.
Anyways, they go through an in-brief that night. We relax, have a nice meal, get everybody oriented to here's the events that's going to happen over the next couple days. First thing we do Saturday morning is we'll start, go through about 2 hours of class. And what we're doing there, and look, many folks come here and they've heard a lot of these things before, but I've never had a person yet with a ton of experience say, you know what, I didn't learn a thing. Everybody has said, you know, I didn't know that.
I'm going to interrupt you right there, because in the years that I lived in Uvalde, I came up here a lot, and I had done a lot of shooting, a lot of different places, a lot of different ways. And every time I came up, I always learned something. Mm-hmm. And most time it wasn't just some thing, it was many things. So now,
well, you know, Larry, as you well know, you don't know what you don't know.
And you're right.
And we do this.
You forget sometimes,
right,
too.
Right. And we've now been at this, what, 15 years?
Yes, sir.
and thousands of students. And so we learn a lot from every student that comes through here too. So it's an opportunity. And, you know, this equipment has evolved and changed so rapidly.
And continually does.
So anyways, we go through 2 hours of class, and what we're really doing there is getting everybody on the same sheet of music. So they understand what a mil means, or a minute means, or here's a turret of a scope. And a lot of people don't understand that many scopes have a reticle inside, and you can actually use that as a tool for bullet drop. So we kind of get everybody on the same sheet of music. Then we show them a way to clean a gun that works here. It's fast and efficient. That takes about an hour. And generally speaking, by the time we have lunch on the first day, we've been through the principles of marksmanship, which is after cleaning, and then everybody has a chance to get a good 100-yard zero. Now, generally speaking, the newer the student, or like, for instance, women and children, they after like six rounds at the 100-yard line, they're going to be shooting groups that are unbelievable. And it's the guys that really think they know what they're doing usually end up struggling a little more. Or what oftentimes happens, people, Larry, you know, they pull their gun out once a year and they shoot a 100-yard target, and right, they get a 2-inch group, and all, that's good enough for a 100-yard shot at a deer. Well, that you're right. But now all of a sudden they're getting this training and they realize, you know, I'm more capable of shooting a lot better group than that. And pretty soon they discover their gun really didn't like their ammo. So we have stock lots of different kinds of ammo to get people through the course, but we'll do an ammo test, typically 4 or 5 different kinds of bullets and different loads. And all of a sudden that gun's shooting a 1/2-inch group instead of a 2-inch group. So we go through that process. Generally speaking, by the end of the first day, after lunch, we'll go back out to what we call one of our many truing ranges, which right, is typically out 700 yards. And what we're doing is dialing the scopes out, and we'll start at reconfirm 100 yards, and then we'll go to 2, and then 250, and then 3, and 350, and 4. And what we're doing is verifying a range card that we built for their bullet and their gun and their scope, and so, which we do while they're in class. Then, and again, we're not promoting shooting animals at 700 yards, but look, here's at the end of the day, the average person coming through here is getting trained to go on a goat hunt or a sheep hunt or even a Marco Polo hunt or you know, some type, and I'm talking precision now.
Yes, right.
But even safari, we start with the basics and get them comfortable and understanding the principles of marksmanship, and really what we're doing sublimely is turning this into muscle memory.
Yes.
So they're getting, you know, they build a good house, which is a term we use here. They're getting comfortable behind the gun, getting good bone support, getting acceptable reticle movement, trigger control, follow through, et cetera, et cetera. There's 7 steps. We break the principles of shooting into 7 easy steps. So, you know, that's one thing to do it at 100 yards all day, but that doesn't really, it decreases the amount you learn, whereas if you start stepping it out to 200 and 300 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, all of a sudden, you know, if you're shooting a 1-inch group at 100 yeah, yards, right, a 1-inch group, well, that's a 7-inch group at 700 yards.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you're trying to hit a 9-inch kill zone, that becomes very difficult. So what we're trying to do is help people understand the importance of the principles of marksmanship. And the further out you go, they become more and more important. And so it's not uncommon to see, for instance, a person stuck at 100 yards. They're not going to get better than a 1-inch group. And we're watching them shoot, and we know their gun and bullet's more capable of this, but they've just got bad habits they're trying to get over. Sometimes we'll just say, okay, go with it. Just run them out. And pretty soon they get all the way out 700 yards, and they've missed a few targets, but they've learned a lot, and they understand the importance of breathing and everything else that we teach them. They would come back to 100 yards, and I'll be darned, they're shooting a 1/2-inch group. So, yeah, it's just fun.
So, and everybody's learning themselves is
absolutely
what they're doing.
I mean, what they're doing
at that point.
Right, right.
Interesting. I mean, we've done some of that several different times. Okay, now we've got them here. You've got them in the classroom. You go through that. You come back. You do shooting. And then you do, after you trued that gun out to a certain distance, mm-hmm, which is so much fun if you haven't ever done it before. Even if you've done it before, it's great fun. After that, you put them through different other paces, do you not?
We do.
And we'll keep the dangerous game course a little bit separate here, and we'll come back to that in a second.
Good.
So, okay, they've learned some of the about themselves. They've learned about their gun. They've learned about how to breathe, how to manipulate the trigger,
right,
how to build the house is what you described, getting right, really good, solid on. And most time you're having people shoot from prone to begin with, don't you?
We do. Day one is prone if you have a physical impairment where you can't shoot prone because you might have a neck surgery or something, then we have benches on the range too.
Right.
We try not to use the benches because I've never seen one in the field. So
I haven't either. I wish that would be there with one, but I've never found one yet.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, look, the prone position is your most stable shooting platform, and it just basically it is.
Yes, sir.
And so it's good to learn that. And, you know, it's funny, I'd like to stop here and say, I've heard a lot of people say, well, why am I learning in the prone? I never shoot that in Africa. Sorry, I disagree.
I do, too.
My two trips to Africa last year, over 50% of my shots, I was prone.
I shot a cape buffalo for prone as well,
yeah,
too.
If you know how to do it, you're going to use it if you can use it. Absolutely.
To me, it's that very precise bullet placement that you're trying to do.
Exactly.
I know everywhere you go here, you've got one placard or saying everywhere you go, something about making what with one shot, the first shot?
It's the hunter's job to kill the animal instantly with one shot. That
Amen.
Is our job.
Amen.
Doesn't always happen, but,
no,
it, is,
but that's
it, should,
what
it is a good goal.
Exactly. Okay, so we've got them shooting it prone, and we've got them through the basics. Then you've got a series of drills that these guys get to
you generally need a vacation after 4 days of this.
Well, you do.
So on that evening, everybody comes back, relaxes, thinks about what happened during the day. A lot of people go back and check their manual again, and all of a sudden, all the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fit together. And we tell people, don't overthink this up front. Everything that we teach, we will train. We don't throw you a bunch of crap and expect you to remember that. That's not fair.
And you mentioned the manual, because there's a manual that comes with everybody.
Oh,
that comes
it was very,
in.
Very intense.
Very
manual.
Well done.
Thank you.
I mean, to tell you, there is no other manual out there that even comes close to this one, as far as
I'm
concerned.
Yeah, thank you. Well, then day two, we're going to launch in the morning. Back into the classroom, typically for about 30 minutes, and we're going to review the range cards we've built you. And so I will tell you up front, 50% of the range cards we started with on day one need to be changed because we don't know your true ballistic characteristics of the gun. We don't know the real velocity without chronographing, and we don't like using chronographs because it just sucks up a lot of time. And it doesn't really matter what the velocity is at the muzzle. What matters is what the velocity and the ballistic is at target impact. Exactly. So we true them versus using a chronograph. Chronographs are great tools, don't get me wrong, but it's just in this class environment, it works better to just actually shoot it. Because when you true a gun, you're also compensating for shooter habit. Is the scope exactly a quarter of a minute or 1/10 of a mil? As they dial out, sometimes they're not all the same. So anyways, on day two after class, 30 minutes of class, we're going to go straight out and start doing some wind calling practice. We're going to start doing some holdover drills. I have target drills. And what we're doing is putting the shooters under pressure again, reinforcing that muscle memory of the seven steps of good shooting, seven principles.
And these are in hunting situations.
Absolutely.
That you experience hunting situations.
Absolutely. Especially by the afternoon or day two. Now we're starting to get off the ground. We're going to go from prone to sitting, kneeling, standing, supported, unsupported, show you lots of tricks with your backpack and your shooting sticks and the bipod and all the different tools that are available to you. And then from there, we're going to start, on day three, we're going to start doing drive-around courses, which is basically golf with a gun, which is great fun because, yes, you're shooting over logs. You're shooting over rocks and logs and, you know, real scenarios. You're shooting life-size targets that we have all over this ranch. We have actually... You know, it's funny, the Navy came in and did a survey of how many targets we have on this ranch. There's almost 3,000 targets on this ranch.
Oh, my gracious.
It's unbelievable.
I know there are lots. I had no idea there were quite that many.
It's nuts. There's lots of life-size targets, so you're putting some pressure on you. We'll do another drive around in the morning of day four and tuning it up faster and faster and faster and getting, that muscle memory and building confidence, which is what it's all about, basically.
Yes, right.
We want folks to understand the shots they should not make just as much as understand the shots they know they can make. So when you look through the scope and go, geez, I'm just not sure, you know, don't shoot. It's okay. It's called hunting, not hope I hit it. So and the last thing we do on day four on a typical precision course is we're going to do what we call the hair in a scope drill. And this is, we're going to get everybody on the line, and it's out to 500 yards, and it's different angles, different shots, and different shooting scenarios, and we're going to count down and put you under pressure. There's never been a person yet in the thousands of people that have been here that didn't stand up and go, oh my God, that was fun. But it's pressure. And we're,
it is
what
pressure.
We're trying to get you to do is understand the secret of slow as smooth and smooth as fast, tune me out, because I'm the one counting down going 10, 9, 8, you know, and putting people under pressure. I've actually had people tell me to shut up, and I won't.
No, of course not.
So, but it's what you're doing is learning in that scenario also, and throughout the 4 days, we're also teaching you how to deal with your guide, your professional hunter. I've actually had professional hunters bump my arm saying, hurry, shoot. I've actually had to tell them to shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave me alone. Yeah. Tell me the animal to shoot, and I will shoot it when I'm ready. And so we want people to understand the importance of taking control of the hunt, because it is your hunt. And so what we're doing is really building confidence, and everything you've learned over 4 days is now coming together in this one drill, and it's just great fun.
It is. It is an absolute blast doing that. One of the things that you've mentioned out here, but in the past, is acceptable reticle movement, AR, what you call ARM, acceptable reticle movement.
Right.
What does that mean? Because in you mentioned telling people knowing when to take a shot or not to take a shot. Mm-hmm. And as people get really excited, particularly if that reticle may swing in a figure eight, it may go in circles, it may go any kind of direction, off and on the target. Right. And at the same time, I've heard you talk about don't ever slap the trigger.
Right.
Kind of explain those two things, how they come together with it. How do you know when you've got acceptable reticle movement enough to where you can gently tug the trigger and not slap the trigger?
Right. Well, Larry, to start with, this is why we start in the prone, and we help people build what we call a good house.
Yes.
Which helps you achieve the ARM, A-R-M, right, which is acceptable reticle movement. So here's the scenario. You have an elk out there at 350 yards, which is a pretty common distance for in the Rocky Mountains for an elk. And you've got, I think a 9-inch kill zone's acceptable.
Yes, sir.
Some people say it's 12, whatever. I'm not going to argue over that. But 9's a good, if 12's acceptable, then 9's really acceptable.
But 9's better, right, as far as I'm concerned.
So if you're wobbling in your scope 9 inches, why would you even begin to start to pull the trigger? I mean, the danger of missing that 9-inch kill zone is way increased. So what we try to teach them is if you've got a 9-inch kill zone or a 6-inch kill zone or an 18-inch kill zone.
Right.
You can live with a third of the kill zone wobble, okay? So if you've got a 9-inch kill zone and you're wobbling 3 inches, hey, forget about the wobble, move on to step two and step three and step four and step five, okay? Because you're going to be in that kill zone. But if you've got a lot of wobble, say 9 inches or more, you need to fix it. Before you start going to step two, you've got to fix that. So actually, arm is step two. So build your house and then get acceptable reticle movement.
Right.
So what happens, in our opinion, is a lot of people in the hunting world, and trust me, I've seen me do it, is you've got too much wobble, and people start to want to time the shot.
Yes.
So the muzzle's swinging from one side of the kill zone to the other, and all of a sudden they say, I want the bullet to go right, bam, and they smash the trigger. The problem with that concept is it's physically impossible. Every human being is wired. If you accelerate your trigger finger, you've jerked your shoulder. The problem with that is, what's attached to the shoulder? Your gun.
Your gun.
Now all of a sudden you've moved the muzzle inches off intended target. So we try to get people to understand, it's okay, breathing, get acceptable reticle movement. Once you've got, let's say, one-third of the kill zone wobble or less, then move on to the next step, which is step three in this case. And slowly breathing out, front sight focus, trigger control, squeeze, and fight the urge to smash the trigger. Because if you smash the trigger, you might get a lucky hit, but more often than not, you're not.
Right. I also noticed a lot of times, and I used to do this, used to be really bad about it. As soon as I pulled the trigger, I wanted to look over the scope to see, rather than stay on the scope, stay on the animal, to look to see where the animal went.
Right.
What happens when you do that,
Jim? Yeah, well, we call that riding the bull. So after the gun's gone off, you don't lift your head off the gun. The first thing you do, keep your eye on the scope, recycle the bolt, and be ready to shoot again. Because if you pull your head off the gun, now all you have in your hands is a club.
Yes.
You can't see the target. You can't do anything about the fact that the animal might have run off. He might be dead, and he's running on a dead animal running on his feet, which happens a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But you've lost your opportunity to shoot him again and make sure he's dead. And so also one of the big reasons we teach people to keep their head on their gun is a lot of people develop and they're shooting big guns.
Right.
So they develop what we call recoil anticipation.
Yes.
And so what happens is you find yourself, you can actually watch people, we slow motion video people all the time, So as they're squeezing the trigger, their cheek pressure starts relieving off their gun. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is lifting their head off their gun right. as they're squeezing the trigger. Well, all you're doing is allowing the muzzle to move.
Yeah.
And if you're lifting your head off your gun while you're shooting, guess what you're not doing? You're not focusing on the front sight.
Right.
And so the importance, there's several reasons to do it, but one of the most important is don't move your head. Just keep it, get it locked on the gun, keep it there. You've got a good sight alignment, and start slowly squeezing the trigger.
It makes all the difference in the world. And I mean, one of the things of being able to come out here is to watch other people, but also to have see me do the ridiculous things that I've done in the past. It's so easy to develop bad habits. I know one time I got, for whatever reason, I used to never flinch, but all of a sudden I developed a very bad flinching thing. And I came out here and I said, and Doug was here, and Doug Pritchard, and I said, Doug, I need help. And so So he videoed me with his phone or whatever. He goes, okay, this is what you're doing. Okay, don't do this, don't do this. And then we got me off of that to where, mm-hmm. and part of that was that anticipation or something. I had no idea why I did it, but I knew that I did it. I knew I needed to do something about it. Right. And to me, this was the ideal place to come.
Yeah. No, it works. It's a funny story. I did the same thing one time, and what had happened is I got badly scoped on a big, my 4.58 Win Mag with a scope. And what had happened is I was shooting at an extreme uphill angle, just a particular weird circumstance in Africa. And I actually got bumped, and not bumped, I got smacked. and I knew better, and I knew it was going to hurt when I fired the shot, right. because I was just at a terrible angle and it had to be a quick shot. Killed the animal, but I immediately developed a recoil anticipation issue. Mm-hmm. And Doug spent about, Doug was one of the original founders of this school,
right,
of
yes.
course. Doug spent about 90 days with me. Every time we had some time off, we'd go down to the range. And I had one years and years ago, I actually broke my nose on a double gun with a scope on it. And so in the back of my brain, I've got this, ooh, this is going to hurt.
Yeah.
And so you start pulling your head off the gun, and you start smashing the trigger. Bad habit, really bad habit. So Doug worked with me, and you know how he got me over it?
No.
With my glasses on, he would take a pencil with the eraser
right.
and make me keep my eyes open and tap my glasses in both eyes. He would force to watch
yes.
the pencil coming and keep my eye open and not blink my eye. And it worked. So there's lots of tricks like that to get people through that recoil anticipation.
Yeah, they didn't do that with me, but he showed me, he said, this is what you're doing, and I was able to correct it. But
right.
that's a fantastic way.
Right.
You can even teach yourself
sure you can.
To do that, just by hitting that. Interesting. So if you're listening and you've developed a flinching problem, go get you a pair of glasses if you don't wear glasses, or maybe sunglasses or safety glasses.
Right.
And just...
Right.
That's an absolutely fantastic way.
Well, one of our favorite sayings is watch the bullet all the way to the target. And what we're trying to emphasize there is the importance of following the bullet all the way to the target so you stay away from closing your eye when the trigger goes
right.
off.
And to me, that has several other implications.
Oh,
that way you know immediately
time, yeah.
where the bullet...
That's
and
right.
The beauty of muzzle brakes is even with some of our bigger guns, you can literally see the bullet impact.
Sure.
Because it reduces the recoil that much. So it's a little bit louder, but if you were hearing protection or whatever, it's worth it, I'll tell you. I've come to learn that. I was never very much of a hearing protection person. Obviously, we're doing this, folks, in Tim's office right now, so don't pay attention to the phones. Usually it's ringing a little bit more than this, but I think you're catching it outside for us. You talked about double guns. Let's talk a little bit about the dangerous game course that you have here.
Okay.
Tell me about it. Somebody is and I've found myself coming back to do this, even though I'd been on dangerous game hunts for like buffalo and elephant and those kind of things. But somebody's going on their first hunt, or maybe it's their 30th safari that they're going on, and they're hunting dangerous game. To me, this is one of the most fantastic places, not one of, it is the most fantastic place to come to train for those kind of hunts. So tell me a little bit about the dangerous game courses that you do here.
Well, Larry, you know, one of the important things I think people need to understand about hunting dangerous game is if it's your first dangerous game hunt, or even, like you say, if it's your 30th, do you really know what you are going to do when it goes bad? And it's just a matter of time before you have a bad experience. A buffalo charge from nowhere, an elephant, a tuskless cow came after you, which you've had happen. We've all had happen. And so what we're trying to do is build confidence in you so that you're just, in a muscle memory fashion, you're going to react the right way.
Right.
So you're not going to throw your gun down and start running.
You're not thinking about what you're doing.
You just instinctively do it, exactly.
You do it automatically. Right. Yeah, okay.
So the beauty of the safari course is the first 2 days, if you're doing the five-night, four-day course, and I'll explain that in a minute.
Right.
The first 2 days of the safari course is precision. So you can be shooting your medium cal guns before you go onto the big boards,
right,
because we want to get good shooting principles instilled before we go to the big bore guns, which tend to get shot a little differently than your lighter kicking medium guns. Sorry, that's the
yeah. Like I said, we're Tim's office. Yeah. We've got
the military's here, and one of the ranges just went hot. So, anyways, what we're trying to do is get people to just instinctively react in a proper way. For the appropriate circumstance at the time. But look, what we do, we start out with what we call snaps drills, which are very up close, 5, 8, 10 yards. You're shooting life-size buffalo targets, vinyl targets. And we're going through muzzle discipline training, which is horrendously important in Africa. I can't tell you how many times we see videos and we just cringe with muzzle discipline on these safaris. It's nuts. Because we practice and we preach constantly about never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And so, we're focusing on muzzle discipline, how to walk with a gun and turn instinctively without falling over a log or tripping over a rock. We're going through a lot, and it seems real simple, and somebody might say, well, I don't need that, but you'd be shocked how many people don't think they need
you're
it.
You're right, and they really do, yes, sir.
And so all of a sudden you've got a buffalo charging from your left or from your right, and we're going through all those tricks. And then we're gonna start getting you on sticks, quick reactionary stick work, you know, like the African shooting sticks, which are a staple in every safari.
Oh, yes.
How to set those up quickly, how to get more stable on the sticks. We're also going to teach you what your limitations are. A single point stick, or in other words, a set of shooting sticks without any other support, everybody, I don't care who you are, has their limitation. My personal limitation is about 150 yards.
Yes, sir.
Other than that, I'm past a 6-inch kill zone. I start wobbling too much, and most people do. We do get the odd guy that can nail things at 9-inch plate at 300 yards, and that's phenomenal. But generally, to get better than that or to get further distance shots than that, and there's a lot of people that make those shots in Africa and wish they didn't. You know, like a 300-yard Gemsbok off a single-point set of sticks, it's really a hard shot.
Yes.
So we show them two stick tricks where you put one under your armpit or on your elbow. We even show them how to set up the gun on two sticks, which is almost as good as a bench rest. And then you can use your bipod. A lot of people would say, well, I don't bring my bipod with me on my hunts. You need to think about it. I take it everywhere I go. You can flip that left leg down and squeeze the bipod leg together with the front of the sticks together. And you'd be surprised how much it reduces
really
your
wobble. It really locks that front end down for you. It does. Yeah.
So we spend, two-thirds of a day going through a lot of principles like that with your big bore guns. And then from there, we start tuning it up, and we're going to start doing some chargers, go through a lot of evolutions of charging elephants and buffaloes. And then we're going to do some – it's very common, as you well know, when you shoot a buffalo, off he goes to the left or to the right. They're tough animals, and you can hit him through the heart, and he's still going to run.
That's right.
And so we're teaching you quick reactionary re-engage practice. And then that exciting charging drills and quick action drills, we call them, are going to last all the way through about almost halfway through the fourth day. And then from there, we're going to go to our dangerous game trail, where it's literally a trail where you never know what's going to come out at you. It's got
you don't, and I mean, it is. I mean, I'm here to tell you, it's like the real thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's the closest thing to the real thing that you can get.
It is. There's three buffalo on that trail, animated.
Shh, don't tell them how many.
Oh, sorry. And we're adding more, by the way.
There's
lions, leopards, elephants, hippos, crocs, all kinds of. So it's called the Dangerous Game Trail.
Yes, sir, right.
And it's a walkthrough course. It's just great fun. I mean, I've never had anybody yet that just wasn't overwhelmed with joy and excitement over it.
And again, like I say, it's very, very real. Mm. It's almost the exact same situations in terms of the thickness of the brush and all those other kind of things that you run into when you do get into Africa to do those things.
Right. And we're teaching you some tricks that you can use with your pH to get more comfortable and don't be so intimidated by the whole scenario. Again, keeping good muscle discipline the whole time, good reactionary training and discipline. And it's just we just keep it fun and keep it lively. And whether it's a child, women, men, whatever. My favorite scenario, Larry, I'll tell you in summary.
Okay.
We see it all the time. Women are smart.
Yes.
They admit when they need help. And we get a lot of wives or moms or whatever that want to get into hunting. You know, they're tired of following the husband around. They want to do this. So women are smart because they'll call us up and say, look, I want to come through the course, and my husband doesn't think he needs it. Well, that's fine. Have him come in as an observer. Some husbands show up and are a student also.
Right.
But they make it very plain on the first night, well, I'm just here for my wife. I really don't need this. Well, by the morning of day two, she is smoking him. I mean, she is out shooting him beyond belief. Pretty soon you look, you see his face like, ooh, I guess I need to start paying attention here.
So
maybe you could learn something. So it's just great fun. And it's whether you're new to shooting or whether, again, whether we've had many of the Weatherby Award winners here and just had a blast. Just a ton of fun.
Yes. Yeah, this is such a special place. One of the things that I enjoy, I love to eat. The food is outstanding here to begin with. But to me, a lot of time that's spent after the evening, during the evening, the debriefing or whatever you want to call it, is just the telling of the hunting stories. You mentioned earlier that there was somebody showed up here. There were, what, 12 people? And
yeah, normally, here's the way we run things. We run two classes max at any one time, and it could be a safari and a precision, or
right.
It could be two precisions or whatever. And we'll have one instructor team, which is two people, with every six people. And so if you have 12 guests, which is what we could max have in a SAM environment.
Yes.
I'm not talking corporate. But
no, right.
Or military. So you're going to show up. You could show up, and you're going to have 11 new friends. Within 48 hours, they are going to all be your friends because everybody's going through the same emotions, the same trials, the same tribulations. They're getting pissed off at themselves because they didn't have a good day or they blew a shot this afternoon.
Right.
That they, you know, it's one of my favorite sayings is just because you've been here doesn't mean you'll never miss again. But when you do miss, you're going to know exactly why you missed.
You're going to know why.
Exactly.
And you're going to know
why
to the point to where the next time you correct that.
That's right.
Or you should
that's
be
right.
able to correct
it's
that.
Self-correcting. So it's not uncommon to have big groups come in that didn't know each other before they get here, and they're rebooking next year. You know, because, Larry, we just had a guy finish his 17th course.
Oh, my gracious. Well,
and,
I can understand that.
Well,
because
and, look,
these are so much fun to come
well,
to.
Well, and here's what happens. We're all busy, and we don't go to the range and practice like we should. None of us
do. No, and a lot of places we don't have that facility
exactly,
available to us.
Exactly. And shooting, in my opinion, is one of the most imperishable skills on earth.
Imperishable.
The best golfers have a coach, period.
Yes.
And because you can't see yourself shoot and you can't see yourself golf. And so you get into bad habits or bad cycles or whatever. And this gentleman, he goes on two big hunts a year, generally one in the summer or spring and one in the fall. And he comes here before every single hunt for it. And he does the three-night, two-day thing, which is, we have the precision and the safari and then variations of those.
Yes, sir, right.
That normal course is 5 nights, 4 days, which I recommend for first-timers. And I'm really not trying to upsell anybody, but we can only teach so much in 3 nights, 2 days. We launched the 3-night, 2-day, what we call safari prep or precision prep class for postgraduates. And I get it. Some people literally don't have 5 nights, 4 days. I understand that. So they come through the 3-night, 2-day, and that's great. At least they're going to leave here a lot better than when they got here. But it's never failed yet. The first guy who'd never been here before, and he comes through the 3-night, 2-day course when he's driving off the driveway down to the front gate, he's saying to himself, man, I should have done the 5-night, 4-day course. But I get
right.
it.
Yes,
so I get it. And so a lot of people, you know, they'll go through the 5-night, 4-day course, and then year after year after year after year, they're going to go get ready for their hunts by
right.
coming through the 3-night, 2-day course. Just get tuned back up. Knock the rust off, as we say.
Tim, you and I are both members of Dallas Safari Club. You and I both sit on the DSCF Foundation. Let's get a few words from those guys for just a few minutes. And I want to come back and ask you about one more combination, the Sam Hunt operation.
Yes,
I'm sure you still have those.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get a few words from those guys and we'll come right back. Richard, you've been involved with the Frontline Foundation, which is an absolutely fantastic organization. Tell people what Frontline Foundation is and maybe a little bit about the history of it.
Yeah, the Frontline Foundation was designed and set up to provide a fund of money readily accessible to support professional hunters and members of their staff that place themselves in danger through providing professional hunting services to those of us over here that travel across the ocean or go up to Canada or Alaska to hunt. We recognize that that when they're these individuals are hurt in the course of providing professional hunting services, there's a lot of people that want to support them, but it takes a while. And it might take 60 or 90 days or 6 months to do it. And about 8 or 9 years ago, a handful of us sitting around a campfire, a friend of ours was killed by an elephant.
Right.
And the idea came up that said, what can we do to remedy this? What can we do to put money in the hands of the family, the widow, the children, or even the individual that's seriously hurt that's lost 6 months' worth of wages? And so the genesis for the Frontline Foundation came up. We've since, or the Frontline Foundation Board has since expanded the mission to include providing benefits to the families of Game Scouts and Rangers and professional hunters who were also killed during the course of providing anti-poaching services.
Yes, sir.
And we just became aware of an incident today in Botswana that I think the Frontline Board is going to take a long, hard look at. But it's been a very effective program and extremely well received. We don't charge anybody anything. It's all done by donations that have been raised. We set up a 501c3 corporation. Gosh, it's probably been 6 or 7 years now. I served as president for the first couple of years and developed eligibility requirements. And then every year we hope we never have to fund anything, but realistically we do. And every year DSC Frontline Foundation issues grants for anywhere from two to half a dozen beneficiaries. And we're still unknown enough to where we reach out to people as opposed to reaching out to them when we hear about a particular incident. In my mind, it's easily one of the best things that we've ever done, that Dallas Safari Club has ever done. It's greatly appreciated by the outfitters, and certainly the families of the outfitters who tragically lost their lives. And it all began around a campfire out of the ranch in Brownwood, Texas, with three past presidents. Quickly got involved with the folks at Safari Classics, who are also on the board, and it really turned into something special.
It really is. I've had the opportunity to experience this firsthand with some PHs that were injured that we were able to take a check to. Yeah. And it was amazing. That was really the only money he and his family had coming in. Were it not for that, it helped with the doctor bills, but it also helped a little bit with the day-to-day life that they were going. They didn't have any food. They couldn't buy any food.
People don't understand that a professional hunter over there, many of them operate on a contract basis. If they're not working in the field, they've got no money coming.
That's the way this was. And I mean, he was going to be out of pocket for the better part of a year, plus all the surgeries and the therapy and everything else that was involved with it. So it's an amazing organization. How can people contribute to this?
Like I said, it's a 501c3 corporation. People can learn more about it on their website, which is dscfrontlinefoundation.org. And I believe they also have a donate button on their website.
I think there is one there, yes, right.
They have a Frontline Foundation Facebook page, which features stories of the people that they were and the families that they have been able to help. And also testimonials from others in the industry saying what a great initiative this is. And so I would say if you have the wherewithal and it's something, if you had a great experience with a professional hunter and you just want to do something in honor and memory of those that really did place themselves at the front line, then go make a donation. Help us build up that pot so that when an eligible individual comes up or family comes up and the need is there, that we're able to do it. It has been very well received, but as the program continues to become more and more known, more and more people are going to make claims. There's going to be more and more demand on it. We want to be in a position to help everybody that's eligible, and Frontline Foundation can only do that with financial support.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate everything that Dallas Safari Club does. And, of course, if you want to learn more about DSC, the best thing to do is to go to www.biggame.org. Again, here with Tim Fallon with FTW Ranch and the Sportsman All-Weather All-Terrain Marksmanship Training. Tim, we've talked about so many different things, but this FTW Ranch is what? Several thousand acres of absolutely fantastic game habitat, and you've got a variety of game here, from native white-tailed deer to some introduced species as well, too. Right. And I know that you offer some hunts here, but also as a part, you can do a SAM and a training and a hunt in the same trip, right?
Yes, sir. You sure can. Larry, we focus on the animals here that are no longer huntable where they're indigenous from.
Yes.
But they have to do well in our rugged mountains, so I wouldn't have things like an Elds deer or a scimitar horned oryx.
Right.
So we have things like the Turkoman markhor and the Nubian ibex and Iranian red sheep and Trans-Caspian urials, that sort of thing, Chinese blue sheep, et cetera. All those species are no longer huntable where they're indigenous from. So one of the many things that we do, a lot of people don't realize we do, we actually do a lot of buying and selling in and out of the zoo industry. So we have a large breeding operation for those animals.
Right.
The males will, you generally age out into an aging pen for a year to 3 years and then release to the wild. You know, we are 12,000 acres and it's 32 miles of high fence. I get it, it is high fence. But
only you and I see the high fence. Oh, yeah. Those animals don't even.
Well, and you know, most people don't realize in Texas we high fence not to keep things in. It's to keep things out.
Gather things out.
That's right. Exactly. So I've got a herd of $250,000 worth of Nubian ibex out in the wild. All it would take is one domestic goat, and I've got a problem.
And you got a problem, that's right.
Yeah. So, anyways, but yes, we set up a program called a SAM Hunt Combo. And so if people want to hunt a whitetail or they've been interested in an axis deer or whatever, it's the SAM Hunt Combo is 2 days of all training. And then we start hunting in the morning and the afternoon on day 3 and 4 and train during the middle of the day. And it's great for families. It's great for kids for their first deer, you know, whatever. We let people shoot our wild hogs for free, which we're trying to eradicate and never will, of course. But, it's really good, especially for the kids because it...
Great and, family.
And, yes, and it's
great
not...
Great family.
Like in a regular SAM course, you'll shoot anywhere from 260 to 280 rounds. In a SAM Hunt Combo, you're going to shoot about 160 to 180.
Right.
So it's a little less shooting. And then, Larry, just so the folks know, we have a very large loaner pool of guns. So if you don't own a gun, or you're thinking about buying a new gun, or you want a new style of gun, don't buy it till after you get here.
That's right.
Because you can try any of our guns and learn, gee, maybe I like this Remington, or I like this Winchester, or I like this Ruger, or I like the Blauser, or whatever.
Right.
All the gun companies keep guns here in our loaner pool because they like the way we teach. We teach ethics, and it's not cool to wound an animal. And so what commonly happens is a guy will bring his 300 Win Mag, Geiger Gal, and it doesn't have a muzzle brake. And there is no way they're going to shoot that thing 4 days because they're going to start getting recoil anticipation. And we're not going to let that happen. We're going to stop.
Exactly.
And
right.
Just give them
perfect.
One of our 6.5 Creedmoors or whatever and sort of with the same sort of scope. So they're getting all the same training without all the recoil. So it's a great place to learn about what kind of gun and scope you want to buy. And if you've got a gun that's not really conducive to shooting a lot, then you can use one of our rental guns and use it. And maybe, look, in a perfect world, after people have been here once, the next trip in, typically they're going to bring their main hunting gun, which might be a 300 Win Mag or a 7 Mag or whatever, for to hunt North America with. And then they'll bring a 6.5 Creedmoor or a 308 or something like that, lighter kicking gun with the same scope. So,
right.
Again, you're going to shoot your Creedmoor, your 308, 40 or 50 times a day, and you shoot your 300 Win Mag maybe 10 times a day. So you're not getting all the recoil, and you're getting the same training because you got the same sort of scope on it.
Exactly. Maybe the same scope, and
maybe
the same model rifle. I know, with the Ruger FTWs,
right.
You've got everything, I guess, from 6.5, and I think you're still doing
3.75. All the way up 3.75,
so you basically got the exact same gun. You put the same scope on it, same action is there. You still got... three-stage safety on the thing, and there's length is still should be the same. So it's just like shooting one of those bigger caliber guns, but at a lesser caliber and
a lot less cost.
And a lot less cost. That is
true,
right, too. Tim, with all these things that you're doing here, tell people how the best way to get in touch with you or to get in touch with the ranch here in case they'd like to come. And again, I want to stress, My grandkids hunted here with Tim numerous times. My granddaughter shot her first animals here, and kids are extremely welcome. We've got a military group in here right now, and there's a young man that's here with his dad and right now. But this is a child friendly place.
Yep, we love kids. You gotta pay it forward.
Yes,
absolutely.
You do.
You have to pay it forward. So listen, Larry, the easiest way to reach us is You can go to our website, which is www.ftwsaam.com. So it's ftwsaam.com. Or call us at 830-234-4366. And you can email us through the website, so that's the easiest way to reach us. Or reach out to me personally. It's Tim Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N, at ftwsam.com.
You mind reading the website and the...
No, not at all.
And the phone number about both, please, just in case.
The website is www.f, as in Foxtrot Tango Whiskey, FTW.
FTW, yes.
Sierra Alpha Alpha Mike, S-A-A-M, so it's ftwsam.com. And the phone number here is 830-234-4366.
Tim, thank you so very much. Thank you for all the years that you've done this and all the years you're going to be doing it. Mm-hmm. And people have no idea how much this place will mean to them until they come here the first time, and then it becomes like a secondary home, like it has for me. But thank you so very much. I want to come back with you a little bit later, maybe at another time, and we'll talk about some of the hunts and some of your thoughts about hunting and where hunting is headed in the future.
Perfect. Thanks, Larry. Good being with you again, buddy.
I appreciate you so very much, sir. Thank you.
DSC's Untamed Heritage is brought to you by Dallas Safari Club, conservation, education, protecting hunters' rights, Ruger, rugged, reliable firearms, Hornady, accurate, deadly, dependable, Trigicon, brilliant aiming solutions, Burnham Brothers Game Calls, Callness Calls Made, Texas Wildlife Association, working for tomorrow's wildlife today. Texas-raised hunting products, the Scent Gods, www.trailingthehuntersmoon.com, the Hunter Conservation's website,